This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me.
Get over here, Marcus. Let me look
at you. They don't want it!
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay, Leroy and Tobin, host of the show, man. Stairs and the songs with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a lie about a more than. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Gucci get large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch this on YouTube review for free. Aye. This one time for the Twitch. Aye. This one time for the text. Aye. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Just want everybody to know, in the South Florida time of adversity, we will get through this. We will get through this. All right. It is not easy to brave the cold, but we will get through this.
What? What? Dude, I was outside. I was outside in shorts, playing with the dogs.
Look at Marcos. He's cold-blooded. He's an amphibian. He's barely here.
Woo!
I am doing my best to power through South Florida.
You know what's amazing is that everybody was texting me, how can you not wear sleeves in the night like that? Don't misconstrue snow with freezing. When sometimes it's warmer when it snows. When it's not snowing and it's clear and you see that crunchiness on the field where it's flat freezing.
Jameis, I think it was the first game he ever started under 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, it's funny because everybody was like, look at the weather. Why is he throwing it? I'm like, what you fail to realize is when it's wet and snowy like that, if you have a quarterback that can throw it decent, the defenders are all over the place sliding. So you're going to be able to hit some open guys. So the offense actually likes it.
It's one of the coolest looks on TV is when it's snowing during a football game.
And let me tell you, every time it snows, wherever you are, the fans go ballistic.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Especially a rivalry game.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, even if we're there and it snows, but it's weird because Pittsburgh is farther away from the water. So, you know, it didn't snow that many times when we were there. But in Cleveland, oh, my goodness. It could be sunny when the game starts and you come out at halftime, it'd be a sheet of snow on the ground.
It was crazy because it wasn't, like, heavy
first,
in the first half.
You could see, like, little flurries.
I was like, what the
heck? And then all of a sudden, blanket.
What is that? That's like, it's like alien world. I'm watching this George Pickens. He's just completely losing his mind. Man, is he like number one NFL bad guy these days, George Pickens? I feel like every week.
I think it all started when he got suspended. Right? When Tomlin sat him for a week.
I feel like every week he's either getting into a fight, shoving somebody, dirty play, and then he says something crazy to the media, which is what he did yesterday because he completely discredited the Browns.
Yeah.
Threw him under this. Can you get that, Froggy? He was just like, he was asking, he goes, oh, what do you think about that game yesterday? He goes, poof. He's kind of like me. He goes,
thank you. Thank you for self-awareness.
He's like, Not a true loss. Snow.
Marcos, you were thinking the same thing, right? He goes.
Took accountability. He took accountability.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute.
By the way, Calais Campbell would never lose to Franz Wagner, by the way. I'm just saying, dude. I'm just saying. But, yeah, this guy, like, they go to him yesterday. He goes, hey, what'd you think about that? He goes, who cares? Snowed. I'm like, what? I'm like,
it's going to be snowed for most of the games you play from here on out.
I don't know if he's aware. I don't know. But he tried to fight somebody on the way out. I don't know what happened, but I mean, he just seems to be in conflict at all times, either with his teammates or the media.
Some people are like, just think of, and I'll use you as an example.
All right. Right. I already used my bullet.
No, but just saying, like, just imagine that playing football. Like, there's certain people that can't take the L. Not going to do it. Right? Under no circumstances. It comes across poorly in moments like that, but you understand, like, you know, I tell you all the time, you know what the hardest thing for a fan to do is to say the other team was better. You always go,
not me. After,
you're always talking about the refs, the situation, we got jobbed, we got robbed, our coach stinks, the quarterback stinks. You never, very rarely do I hear the other team was better. Right? And so that is not just fans. Players are like that too. Right? Some players will be more politically correct and say, well, we kind of shot ourselves in the foot, or we kind of did this, and, you know, give them credit, but, you know, I think this one's more on us and how we played. That's the political position that you should take sometimes. Instead of, we got jobbed. And
whatever,
but,
dude.
But wait, so when players do it, why do you get so upset?
I literally started this off saying it sounds like me. Now you're trying to go boomeranging on me? You're the guy who won't even admit that you hate Micah Parsons.
No, I'm not. I'm only saying
that. Who doesn't have accountability, you or me?
I'm not saying that to keep saying this to you. I'm saying to that players are the same way. So this is, but it comes across like this instead of how you do it.
Here's George Pickens after the game.
What do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, you know, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
You guys good?
Hey, somebody had to get in there.
Nothing is better than a PR person who goes in who tries to stop questions after, like, oh man.
I've never, you know what? Never been stopped.
Oh man.
Never said something where I had to, where they had to come in and throw a lifeline to me.
It's like,
But so I get, listen, it's probably not the best thing to say, and I'm sure Mike Tomlin will say something about it.
Will he?
Yeah.
He's going to be like, so
he'll just say,
doesn't matter.
He'll just say, look, we didn't go out there and play our best game, but you definitely can't discredit what they did, you know? And you play in Pittsburgh.
I'll tell you who I'm going to discredit.
Who?
Carter Verhaeghe, dude.
Whoa!
What are you doing yesterday? Do you know you don't play for the Blackhawks? I mean, you want to talk about ruining the opportunity at the end of the game. The Panthers, who are not playing good right now, they go out there and, like, you know, the stupid Blackhawks have, like, two shots, both of them goals. The Panthers are peppering this poor Blackhawks goalie. He's stopping everything. So you get a little advantage, and Carter Verhaeghe goes, hey, do I play for Chicago? Let me pass it to the dude from Chicago with an empty net. What were you doing, Swaggy? Empty net! You can't be passing the puck around willy-nilly!
Not great. Not great, Bob.
I was just... What was that? I was so furious. I was like, they're definitely going to win this game. This team sucks. Then, by the way, I feel bad for that Connor Bedard. They were killing him the entire game. They're like, teenager doesn't have a goal in 10 games. I'm like, his career is 15 games. First time in his career, he's gone 10 games without a goal. I'm like, he just learned how to drive. What do you like? What do you? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, like, could you imagine like a kid that size, tiny? You're trying to get past Alexander Barkov. Good luck. Somehow the Panthers lost the team. I gotta tell you, rare game afterwards where Paul Maurice pissed.
Oh. That was my favorite part where he goes, what are you going to do here?
Oh, well, that was great.
Leave here, I'm going to go yell at him.
That was great. But, like, he's, you know, he was sitting, he's like, you know, he talked about this earlier in the year where he goes, there's going to be some loss to some Western Conference team down the line, and so they're going to be like, oh, this is cup hangover. And he goes, this isn't cup hangover. We always lose in Chicago.
Yeah, I think he said it's been like 3 years since they won there.
Crazy, dude.
That is crazy.
That is, but he was.
I mean, that is the equivalent to Pittsburgh to Cleveland playing against Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
I was
like, they may lose all their games and then they win the two games against Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Yeah,
like, was, they do it every year.
He was, but he it was the first time I've heard Paul in a while be like, we're just not playing to our standard right now. You know, he's disappointed. Four out of five will do that to you.
Oof.
Yep.
You know,
but the thing about hockey is, man, the season is so long.
Yeah, and they've
like,
beaten.
If you get too caught up in this instead of, you know, just trying to get better and fight through it, like you're gonna be way far more miserable than you need to be.
Yeah, but you know, and the thing is, like every time they take on a good team, they're like they either smoke them. Or it's like right down to the wire. It's losing to these trash teams that you're like, what's going on here? What's happening here? Paul Maurice doesn't know, dude. He's like, he's sitting here not too pleased. We'll hear a little bit from him later on. But we got to take a break, huh? It's a football Friday. Lots to get to here on the program. Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560. WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. It's Friday. What's wrong?
Maybe watch Drake Miami.
You were watching it? I was just phone watching. I was like, eh.
I was like, I ain't got nothing to do.
You want to know what is funny about college basketball, though?
Anybody could beat anybody.
Maybe, but I was thinking to myself, like, I was like, once it's a 10, like in the NBA, 10 points, nothing. In college, you're like 10 points, like, it's going to take a massive comeback. And the Canes got it to like, they got it to 4, and then bang, bang. I was like, all right, that's over. Bye.
Here's the thing about, like, college. It don't matter what league you play in, what division you are, if you get hot from 3, you can win. I don't care who you're playing, especially if the other team is shooting bricks like, well, Miami was.
Yep.
Holy smokes.
I knew I was working today 5 minutes into the game.
they were basically down 8 the entire time. And
every
then,
one of my highlights has Drake ahead.
Mm.
Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
Well, it's about time Drake got a victory.
Yeah.
That hurts.
What?
It's a point, though.
Thank you.
Point for Tobin!
We get out a little early, baby. We get out like 120-ish today.
Yeah. I replied, even the Canes like Hawk and Crowder.
You know what, though? At least we had good intentions. We were rooting for the Canes.
Yeah.
They were rooting against the Canes.
How dare they?
Mark Hochman claims he's a Miami Hurricane. Ridiculous. He's rooting so he could get an afternoon off. Bullhunky.
Wow.
Crazy. Canes, by the way, back in action tomorrow on the football field. We were just talking about Joe Zagacki's travel schedule. Like,
yeah, that's right?
He's getting his Herb Street on.
Oh, so he does the game today and then flies back here.
Yep, yep.
Oh, he just come back with how many games do they play?
I think they go back on Sunday.
Sunday.
If they win.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's that. Who do they play today?
Who cares?
Don't say that.
No, I'm sorry.
Don't say that.
FAU won.
Yeah.
Today they play Oklahoma State.
All right.
Both 3-1.
Marcus Martin walking through that door.
Hmm? I don't think so.
Yeah, but a 3-1 schedule in the beginning of a basketball season is by far.
Yeah, the team they beat on last week, that team had a lot of names for their school.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
You know? I think it was like Gordon Ramsay's Culinary Arts Institute.
Le Cordon Bleu. They went against Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, man. But the Canes, a football team, on the field tomorrow. 8 o'clock is our coverage. Taking on Wake Forest as the Miami Hurricanes. Look, they control their own destiny. This is where they're at right now.
So, here's all I'm looking for. Because everybody's going to look at that Canes defense and say they're not disciplined, right? They're not going to maintain their lanes. They're going to try to be me players instead of we players, being that they're going to go try to make the play instead of doing their responsibility on that play. And so you might see a lot of motion and a lot of, you know, trickery just because they are susceptible to the big play, and they run all over the place. And so if I'm going to look early in the game, because I know I don't care what kind of offense you have, every offense comes with motion, and you're just going to try to vary that a little bit to confuse them. That's what I would do. Whatever my offense is, I'm going to have more movement to try to confuse them, because whenever they get confused, you gash them.
Yeah, there's just been a propensity to give up the big play all year. That's been right. it's been an issue
because guys not being where they're supposed to be. Or again, when you have the pass rushers that you have, and you have that stud and Bane, right? Something's supposed to be happening in the backfield because you very rarely gonna play against.
They have good names, but I don't think Barron's had a sack since I don't think it was since Ball State. So right. They need, yeah, those guys do need to step up for sure.
Because that if you're not getting pressure on the quarterback, you are asking a lot for the part of your defense that is considered the weakest, which is the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is turn up the pressure. You got to find ways to get pressure on the quarterback because most of the big plays they give up are plays where they got to guard somebody for longer than 3.5 seconds.
Schmiedman says, cheeks are going to be tight if Wake Forest scores a touchdown on their first drive.
Yes, they should be.
I don't think so, though. Like the thing with the Canes is they've lived in – well, hear me out on this. The Canes have lived in uncomfortability and tight cheek games all year. Like that's
okay, but they haven't had enough of it. And it can't happen again what happened last week?
I'm not saying it can't. No. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I don't think there's going to be like a shell. There's definitely, you're not going to shake. Maybe he's referring to the fans, but I don't think the fans have been through wilder stuff than an opening drive by an underdog.
Yeah, but the problem is that if you see that early in the game and the Canes get down, aren't you going to ask the question, what are we doing? I thought that we understood, you know, we don't have the talent on one side of the ball to be able to do this week after week after week. And we're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I think the thing that's going to be, you just can't have Wake Forest be having these elongated drives, you know? Like, that's got to be the thing, is because everyone's going to do the Georgia Tech of trying to keep Cam Ward off the field. And so, right. Like, if you get into this position where you're down 10-0 because, and, you know, just something happened, a penalty, whatever, you tripped up, the offense is getting off to a slow start, and they're keeping the ball 5-6 minutes a chunk. You know, that's the type of stuff that is going to get annoying, and because then your chances and your margin for error is going to get smaller. But they've been through some adverse games this year. Like that's not a place I'm nervous with them.
Like again, see, you may not be nervous, but then why put yourself in that situation when football could happen?
Yeah, but
and you keep playing that game.
But the team is what it is, Leroy. Like when we're talking about they're going for their 10th win, you are who you are. Like I'm not gonna sit here and be like, well, this is going to be the game. The Canes are not going to make any crazy mistake. Maybe they do. I mean, Wake Forest isn't a great team. They're an under 500 team. They don't have a ton of weapons. They're going to try and run. Yes, that has had some formula of success against the Canes, but it's only gotten them got once. And
right. Okay, but here's the deal. Okay. There's certain things that have nothing to do with talent that's plaguing this team. Okay? And one of those things is being where you're supposed to be on the football field. Outside guys having contained. Right? Something as simple as that. That has nothing to do with talent. And when you make mistakes that have nothing to do with talent, you can lose to a team that doesn't have any because you're not playing responsible football.
Okay, but ultimately, this team's given up 40 pieces, what, five times this year?
Wake Forest?
Wake Forest. And you're one of the best offenses in the country.
Okay.
And 24-point favorite.
I guess my problem is I'm thinking bigger picture.
Oh, look, that's fair. I'm talking, but right now, I want to see the team come back and have, you know,
I want to see him fix what ailed them the last game.
Mario,
that's all I want to see.
Mario, you better have had Lance Guidry in a dungeon film room, okay? Because you had the bye week. No, you had the bye week, you stink off the bye week, okay?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You better come off this bye week prepared, dude, because the good coaches use the bye.
Hey.
That's a good point.
I would say this, regardless of how we feel about, we have just two different views of this, right? Neither's wrong. You just think they can keep playing the same solid football.
I just don't expect them to be somewhere they're not.
I have a bigger picture, and that bigger picture is if you are doing the same things that have nothing to do with talent, week after week after week, there's a different problem there. And so when I watch this game, I want to see them improve on those things. Like, are they where they're supposed to be? Are they containing the football? Are they playing disciplined defense? Things like that. Because even if you don't have talent, or even if you're not as talented, right? Playing disciplined football can get you out of a lot of binds. And if you don't do that, and then you're not as talented as you thought, you can have some real problems. So that's what I want to see. I want to see, hey, they run that wide receiver sweep. I want to see somebody upfield turn it in. That's fundamental football. That's basic football.
Yeah, I get you. But, like, I don't think that, you know, I don't think they're incapable of having a performance at home, 24-point favorite against a team that really, they do have a lot more talent than. I'm not even talking about, like, they have a lot more firepower than they do. And honestly, I wouldn't even mind them going into a route where they kind of did with FSU, where they dictate the terms of the game. It wasn't, you know, necessarily the most flashy game in the world, but you knew that FSU really had no shot in that game.
Right.
And they kind of just they just took it out of them, and yeah, those big plays every now and then, but they just got to get right, you know? Like
we should see in the first few minutes of the game if the team as a whole is angry and pissed off that they lost against Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that means your team got some fight.
Right.
Like, we ain't going out like this. Right? So I'd be interested to see.
I bet Cam Ward is the kind of guy, too, like, he's seething over the way that Georgia Tech game ended. Because even though it doesn't, you shouldn't always rely on him to pull miracles. And you shouldn't always rely on him.
He's probably pissed off that he didn't give him a real chance.
You know that fumble's been eating him alive. He's like, he just seems like that type of dude, which is.
I hate mistakes. Critical mistakes on bye week are the worst. Because, like, even as a player, even if that didn't determine the game, your input had something to do with it, and you can't just, you know, it's not like basketball or baseball or hockey in a couple of nights you back at it. It's once a week, and then bye week, that's, you know, you got a week off. So it eats at you. It does.
We'll take a quick break here on the program. More to come here on the show. We got a Dolphins game to get to as well. And Tyreek Hill, some thoughts on Tua and Marcus's hopes that he was going to be more mobile. Take a break. Back after this.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her head.
Ah, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program.
Is Cam Newton on First Take?
Sure is. He does every Friday.
Okay. He has a shirt. Somebody just says, who is this clown with the big hat? And I said, I'm not watching, but I think it's Cam Newton.
He is wearing a shirt. You remember, Marcos, you ever wear in the art classes back in the day, you ever steal one of your parents' shirts and you had to use the oversized shirt as your smock?
Yeah.
And it had all the paint. That's what the shirt that he looks like that he's wearing
right really
now.
Does look
it
like
looks
that.
Like it went through an entire what the hell is the thing the artists wear on their thumb? Is that a palette? Is that what they call that?
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Dude, did you see this story? Speaking of Art Basel, I think it's not that far off, right? Art Basel is usually in December.
2 weeks away.
2 weeks away for Art Basel.
Real quick, if you guys want to attend a game show, I'll be having. Okay.
Go ahead.
December 8th at the Deck in Wynwood, we'll be doing the best damn brunch show ever. 1 p.m.
You should call it Smart Basel.
Damn. All right. Well, we'll be working on the name.
But did you see there's this story yesterday? I was very confused by this. You remember the one of the most famous Art Basel stories. We all know this, right? What sold at Art Basel?
Banana.
The banana. Yes. The banana sold for like $100,000-$150,000.
Correct.
Remember, some guy came up and ate it.
Yeah.
But this is where I just didn't understand art anymore. Because they were explaining to me, no, the banana keeps getting replaced. It's not the same banana. It's concept.
Yeah.
That is the art. I just saw that the concept of this just sold for $6 million.
The banana thing again?
Yes!
It's still making money?
Yes!
How is that possible?
I don't know, dude.
The concept of that.
I was like, wait, what?
What's to stop me from doing that at my house, though?
You can't. I mean, I guess you could, but it's not the same.
It's not like
this Italian artist, whoever came up with it. I was like, this doesn't seem.
Damn.
I was like, is this a real story? I was like, reading it, it's NPR.
No, this is real. Yeah, 6.2 million.
What is that?
Wow.
I don't understand art, dude.
I got to tell you.
What is going on?
A banana?
Hey, Al Mackey said it the best. Legal money laundering.
He's right. Has to
if
be.
You want to spend $6 million on a banana.
Is this how Loria made his money? Because he was an art dealer. Is this how he got a baseball team?
Yep. Art dealer.
What? What do you mean $6 million for a banana? Why not just do it yourself? Yeah, you can do it yourself if you wanted it in your mansion. You know how many bananas you could buy for $6 million?
Right.
A lifetime supply of bananas. You would have a new ripe banana every day if you wanted to.
Wow.
Why would you have to pay the $6 million for the concept?
Doesn't make sense.
I'm very confused.
Also, if I were to tape another fruit to the wall, am I, like, violating the idea?
I mean, $6 million, you should be allowed to do with the banana whatever I want. Oh, as a crypto investor, of course.
Of course.
Another, you know what? Al Macko's probably spot on.
definitely laundering.
Smells like laundering.
So this year, I take a grapefruit and I tape it to the wall. Is that like copyright infringement? Or am I just like doom, 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 doom? Dum 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 dum. A little different.
Justin Sun, Chinese-born cryptocurrency entrepreneur, 34 years old.
Oh yeah, you're not fooling me, dude.
That is something a 34-year-old crypto bro would want to do. I'm gonna buy the banana piece, but for $6 million.
You guys remember that banana piece? I got it in my house. $6 million.
The banana part
you
of a piece
got
of
nowhere near that banana.
Called Comedian, created by Italian artist Maurizio Catalan. After a battle with six others for the artwork at an auction in New York City on Wednesday, the founder of the cryptocurrency Tron paid for the fruit of his labor in crypto. Quote, I believe this piece will inspire more thought and discussion in the future and will become part of history. I am honored to be part of this iconic work and look forward to it sparking further inspiration and impact of art enthusiasts around the world. And he says he plans to eat his multi-million dollar investment. He says, in the coming days, I'll personally eat the banana as part of a unique artistic experience, honoring both its place in art history and popular culture. He says snacking won't change the investment. However, his $6.2 million awarded to him a roll of duct tape and instructions on how to install the banana properly.
What? Oh, my God.
Most importantly, a certificate of authenticity guaranteeing the artwork. Hold on one second. So let me get this straight.
What?
I'm making the art every day?
He just gave you instructions. Oh, my God.
I don't, Leroy. Hey,
you understand you could buy the most expensive Bugatti.
Ooh.
And actually drive it.
Yeah.
And not have to change the oil yourself.
You could have.
I could put that thing, that painting, that $6.2 million painting in the back of my truck and go to work. And nobody would steal it because they would say, I got a rotten ass banana in the back of my thing. You guys would make fun of me saying, uh-oh, he's upgraded. Now chicken bones, now old bananas.
Oh, you want to hear from the art dealer? This is rich. The soon-to-be-devoured banana wasn't included in his winnings as the fruit tends to rot quickly.
What?
But the value of the artwork isn't the banana itself. It's derived from the certificate accompanying the purchase. Quote, what you buy when you buy Catalan's Comedian is not a banana itself, but a certificate of authenticity that grants the owner the permission and the authority to reproduce this banana and duct tape on their wall as it was an original artwork by Maurizio Catalan. I hate this.
I think the guy was sitting playing Sudoku on the toilet and his art guy told him, you better come up with something quick. And that's what he did.
$6 million? $6 million? I thought it was stupid when it sold for $120,000. It was ridiculous.
Yes.
I'm going to Art Basel. This is it. I'm going to Art Basel. I'm making my own thing.
No,
I'm going to do it. I'm going to Art Basel. Why can't I do this? Why can't I come up with something like this?
I love that.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to have a microwave.
Yes.
And I'm just going to make popcorn. And that's going to be art.
Yes.
And I'm going to be like, guess what? You get to buy my concept of art.
Of art.
All right. This is Tobin's idea of art.
Yep, yep, yep.
And you're going to get to buy popcorn. All the popcorn you want, and you get to keep making popcorn. $6 million, please.
Yes. Yes. You're onto something with that.
I don't understand.
No, this is strange. This is... You know what else you can get for $6 million? A wide receiver best known for one catch who attends Heat games on his days off and doesn't really do anything.
Why can't he bring
you
his...
You wanted him!
What?
Come on, I'm just speaking.
Minus one to yourself.
No
because
way.
Because you... We got in a... Tobin wasn't here and we argued minus the whole one. Show over this.
Yeah. Still got time
and
to turn it
And now you're
around.
Making it... Oh, my goodness.
Still got time to turn it around.
It says three editions of Comedian... were created and sold, with one going to the Guggenheim collection.
Oh, who can forget the Guggenheim?
Thanks to an anonymous donor.
What?
Who's the donor? Chiquita Bananas?
Even Guggenheim is saying, we got to change this damn banana every day.
How is the Guggenheim thinking? You're the Guggenheim. How is the Guggenheim allowing this to happen? What's next, the Met?
Oh. The Louvre.
You know one of them artsy-fartsy people will buy it.
This shouldn't be allowed in the Miami Shores Art Museum, let alone the Guggenheim.
Ah. This shouldn't be on the wall at a McDonald's.
No, that'd be gross.
Wild Printing says, Tobin, clearly not an artsman. I am an artsman!
Oh.
But this isn't art! This is stupid!
No, you're not. You're not an artsman.
I feel like an artsman. Schmeathan says,
this is good. This is a good idea.
Schmeathan says, Tobin should tape a poppy seed bagel to a piece of wood and call it art bagel.
I wish I would have thought of that. I would have kept that quiet. Just debuted it.
How, like, this is crazy, dude. This is craziness to me. A man who may be fooling us all also as an artist is Jameis Winston.
Oh.
And Jameis Winston yesterday, before the game, he was so excited to play in the snow.
That's right.
Here he was before the game with Amazon Prime.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm depending on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
It is magical. Anyone? Hey.
Let me tell you something, and I keep saying this. The players got to play in it anyway, right? The fans go crazy. Soon as that first, hey, it's snowing, let's take off our clothes! And like, they kept showing this naked guy that looked like Chris Farley.
He was big. I saw him.
He looked just like Chris Farley. He kept doing
that. That dude definitely has the sniffles this morning, right? Or is he just so used to it?
No, he's sick for sure. And he's hungover.
No, he got up this morning and went to work.
My wife walked out for 1 second. All of a sudden, she comes out sneezing. I'm like, man.
got you quick.
Dude, I was outside. I'm telling you. Shorts.
Well, that's the thing that infuriated her with me, because I was complaining how cold it was. She goes, "You're wearing a sweater and bare feet." I'm like, "Well, yeah, my feet don't get cold."
That's strange.
My feet get cold immediately.
My feet don't get cold. It's a weird thing.
And Big Spoon, I don't know what it is with the heat she got in her body, because the colder I get, the hotter she gets, and then she elbows me in the face. I'm like, you're like a little hot rock. Get off me, you're cold.
I don't know what pisses me off more, honestly, the Art Basel or cryptocurrency, because they're kind of the same art and cryptocurrency. Like, I don't know what I'm... But I always just thought art is supposed to be something beautifully created.
Yeah.
You use creativity, and then you're like, I need to have that.
You shouldn't have art and say it's a concept.
Right!
Right. Concept is cars.
That's when this whole thing with NFT came around. Well, it's a concept.
Oh, that was what are we even doing?
That was short-lived.
Very short-lived.
No, you know what you know what got popular again? Which makes baseball cards, football cards. That got popular. I understand. You could physically hold it.
Yeah.
Try and explain to me NFT. You're going to love this. It's the official UFC 249 NFT. I'm like, huh?
Well.
I got three words for that.
Here was Jameis after the game, after he got to play in his first game with his... Did he say he have a horse? The horse was prepared for battle?
Yes. It is Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord.
Love Proverbs. Here's Jameis Winston after the game.
Really?
I was just praying on the sideline, because that fourth quarter, it really was like, it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting, like, my feet start getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good, and it was so great to end up getting that win.
Man is emotional right now.
He needs to get out of the league and get on television right now.
Oh, he's gonna be before football games on some stage and some altar. He's gonna be selling. He's gonna be doing something. You know, everybody thought it was gonna be Tebow all those years. It's gonna be Jameis.
No, it's Jameis is the guy.
See, here's the kicker about.
You hear that, Fitzpatrick?
The kicker about Jameis is he is like that in real life. I play 18 holes of golf with him. He is that way.
Did he pray every hole?
He's not, put it this way, he's very like, yes sir, no sir, very like cordial, very like, yeah, he's like, when I see people on TV, like, I don't ever get mad at Deion Sanders. You know why? That's who he is, right? That guy been that way his whole career. He don't drink, he don't curse, right? And so from that standpoint, I'm not going, if I have a problem with him, it's a me problem. Because he probably handles himself a lot better than I do. So I can't be mad. People say they don't like Deion. I don't like what he's doing. I don't like Deion. Why? Why? You see what I mean? We need to get past all that. And, you know, Jameis got caught in some spots or whatever. But the overall person, and everybody will tell you about Jameis, that's a good dude that keeps it real, and he ain't, you know.
He's gone, though. His speeches have gone from straight ridiculous where he was eating a W. He's become very spiritual.
Yes.
Like, very spiritual. And and nothing wrong with spirituality, but I do think God's probably like, this guy's calling again?
Yeah.
Jameis, I got the thanks for the snow.
Hey, I'm going to tell you. Like, it is, I think, for the home team, for like players who are used to playing, you don't ever get, and here's the thing, you don't ever get used to playing in the snow. You don't. You just deal with it. And people say, oh, you know, our team's outdoors when you come up there. No, you're going through the same misery, but you're just, you know, you've done it before, so you just deal with it.
Look, you guys haven't had a lousy football season, and Jameis is, you know, I mean, I'm sure people are already rooting for Jameis and Joe Flacco more than they have for Deshaun Watson, who it's just been a misery with him.
It's crazy. Yes. The Browns' best story 2 years in a row is their backup QB.
I know.
Very sad.
Because everybody looks at the other, like.
But wait. That wasn't the backup, though. That's like the third one.
Joe. Oh,
you see what I mean? That's what's crazy. And they want to fire the coach. I'm like, do you understand that this man has had 6 or 7 quarterbacks in the last 2 years and still winning football games, and you want to get rid of the coach?
And just be the division leader. Crazy, dude. Anyway.
Oh, by the way, I got something for you guys.
Okay.
Cherry Cola Celsius.
Oh, you found it. You went on the hunt for it?
Ooh.
I just got the places that sell it, and I ordered some.
There you go.
Smart.
We'll take a break. We will get into some Dolphins. Our Tua is next.